I will come to this section right here, this 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57. It gives you chills to know that one day this body is going to be immortal, to put on immortality, to be imperishable. That means no more getting old, no more aches, no more pain, no more sickness. And, I mean, it's like, I almost want to say that, it makes the hair stand up on my head, but I don't have none. So it just gives me chills to know. Every time I read this was so powerful to me. And it says, the power of sin is the law. The power of sin is his word. It's golden. Just like that song said, it's golden. This Torah, so much happening. So much you can talk about in this Torah. It was, what I got out of this was the faith, the obedience of Sarah, the obedience not only to her husband, but to God, and her faith to God, and how she trusted him. She didn't trust her husband so much because twice he lied, you can say, because he said that that's my sister, because he was scared that they would do something to him. But she had to have faith that God, because King Pharaoh took her in his room, and King Amalek took her. And they, they could have did anything they wanted to, but God kept his hand upon her, that they would not touch her. And he said that to King Amalek. He said, I kept my hand. I'm the one who did that, that never let you touch her. So she, her trust and faith in God was just unbelievable. And the same thing with, In the Matthew 2, 1 through 23, three different times that he had to trust what God gave him in a dream to flee, go to Egypt. He told him, go to Egypt. And then he told him that Herod had, when Herod died, he told Joseph to rise, take the child and the mother, go to a land in Israel. In another dream, and and all that was to be fulfilled from what the prophets were saying. So they had to trust. He had to trust and obey. They had to trust and obey what God was telling them in dreams, and what he was saying. In the Genesis 23. With Sarah, this is Sarah's the only Torah portion named after a woman. They had like four or five of them that's named after God, but she was the only one. And I find it very significant that she was the only one that had a Torah portion named after her. But in the Genesis with Abraham, that the stories are pretty much the same, but there was two different outcomes about it. It was two different things that happened. And we see that in Abraham's, that there was two sons in Kings, two sons in Abraham, Solomon in the Kings and his brother. And Abraham, we had Isaac and we had Ishmael. And, it was no fighting, no quarreling over what God had promised, the oath that he made to them, that who was going to reign. Everything went smooth in that transition. But you go over to Kings and you see things went really wrong. It went really, really bad in that King's account. And I want to read that. I want to read Kings 1 and I'm going to read Kings 2, that what happens when Elohim makes an oath and says who's going to reign, and then somebody tries to step in, man, and wants to try to do it their way. They paid a consequence, is what happened. And it says, now, reading in 1 Kings 1 through 31, it says, now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, let a young woman be sought for my lord, the king, and let her wait on the king and be wise in his service. Let her lie in your arms that my lord and the king may be warm, that my lord the king may be warm. So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not. And this is the part right here. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Notice the men who he took and what happened to them in chapter 2. It says, let's try to shorten this up a little bit. Because, I mean, if you read this, you can talk about so much. Okay, he was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with Abathar, the priest. And remember these names. And they followed Adonijah and helped him. We got to be careful who we side with. You can't just don't side with somebody because they think they got that they're in the right path that they need to be in or what they're doing. Make sure they led by God and that they're hearing correctly from him. Don't just side with anybody, because this watch what happened to them. And then he sacrificed oxen and fattened serpents. And then, then Nathan said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, had became king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? Now, therefore, come, let me give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son, Solomon. And let's just get down to 28 and listen what Solomon, the king said. David. It says, then King David answered, call Bathsheba to me. So she came unto the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon, your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. Even so will I do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, may my Lord, King David, live forever. And in Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, let's read what happened. But notice what King David said. He said, as I swore to you by the Lord. It says, verse 1, it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of Yahweh thy Elohim to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whither thou turnest thyself. Then Yahweh may continue his word while he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in trust with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zariah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war and peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace, but shew kindness unto the sons of Barzillah, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat in thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gerah, a Benjamite of Behurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim, and he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swear to him by Yahweh, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his father and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years, 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And this is where it starts. And Adoniah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, and she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom, thank you. Howbeit the kingdom, you just made me lose my. Okay, here we go. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about, is turned about, and is become my brother's, for it was his from Yahweh. Okay. He just said that, for it was his from Yahweh. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, saying he's not going to tell you no, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ax on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why doest thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and for the Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swear by Yahweh, saying, Elohim do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. He did it to himself. Now, therefore, as Yahweh liveth, which had established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who had made me in house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. All because he thought that it was his rightful heir to the throne. Knowing that the oath was made, the vow was made, the promise was made that Solomon was going to take the throne of David, not him. But he thought that he could have got over, and it caused him his life. We can continue reading. It caused his life and those other guys' life that side with them. So that's why we got to be so careful on who you side with. Don't just jump on the bandwagon because it sounds good. We have to be very, very careful. You know, back then, oaths were serious. Oaths are serious business, and it was serious back then. And the oath's a different thing. It's a pledge, it's a swear, it's a promise, it's a vow. But it was taken serious, not like these days. You go to court, they want to put your hand on the Bible, Raise your right hand, put your left hand on the Bible, and they want to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth will help you, God. Are you serious? And this, not everybody's, you probably got sinners going in there and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to swear to God. And this is what they want you to do, not knowing the importance of how important the oath was and how serious it was back then. And, you know, this really hit home with me, because I could remember, anybody ever made a promise to God? Lord, if you do this for me, I promise. I did it many times, especially when I was running. Lord, please get stopped by the cops. You know, you got things that you shouldn't have in the vehicle. Lord, I promise if you get me out, I'm going to church. I promise, I promise. And it was, you know, over and over. It was repetition. I was doing it. And I'm like, man, when I was going through this and going through the studying and seeing how serious this was, I had, Lord, thank you. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for doing that. For my ignorance, not knowing how serious this was. That I took it lightly, like just, you know, he's going to do it for me. And I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his grace that he did it for me over and over and over. In my ignorance and not really knowing how serious the oath was. And, you know, the hand under the thigh, some call it a bodily oath. You know, it was made for a matter of, it was most important for family matters. That was what the oath was being swore by, or whatever. We seen it in Abraham, and then we seen it with Jacob. In Jacob's, it was the same thing. You know, put your hand under my thigh. It was a very important family matter. And we also see that, let's look at 1 Samuel 1:1. Hannah, we're going to look at Hannah, and then we're going to see Judges 11:30 and Jephthah, what happened, what the outcome of those two were. Samuel 1:1. Now there was a certain man, and that's a big old word, I'm not even going to try to say it, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophah, and Ephraite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Phinehas. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of Yahweh, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife and to all her son and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but Yahweh had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because Yahweh had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of Yahweh, as she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Let me get down to what I really want to bring out about how she vowed the vow, and how she when you vow a vow, and how important it is to make sure you do everything you do to keep it, because you're gonna see in Hannah how she asked for a child and God gave her one, and she did exactly what she said she was gonna do. She was gonna give it to him for the rest of her days. And we're gonna see in Jephthah's occasion that he vowed a vow, and not knowing that I'm getting ahead of myself. Not knowing that his daughter was the one that was going to step out of the house first. Okay, let's see. And she vowed a vow. Let's go with verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give unto him, unto Yahweh, all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass that she continued praying before Yahweh that Eli marked her mouth. And let's skip down. Let's go to that's 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of Yahweh. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Yahweh a yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until this child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before Yahweh and there abide forever. Well, you know, and just that's what she said she was going to do. That if he gave her a child, that she promised that she was going to give him back to her, to Yahweh, and that he was going to serve him and do exactly what the vow she promised to him. And in Judges 11:30. So she made sure that she held up her end of the bargain. Yahweh did his part, and she made sure she did hers. And we start in verse, let's start with verse 30 in Judges 11:30 with Jephthah. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto Yahweh and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be Yahweh's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So important that you got to really don't vow and not know what the outcome is going to be. You better make sure you're hearing from the Lord. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and Yahweh delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come into Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter come out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto Yahweh, and I cannot go back. And he said unto him, she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto Yahweh, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as Yahweh hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months. And she sent with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to Lamech, the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. The point I'm trying to make out is, Hannah, there was 2 vows that was made, and you gotta be careful, because you want to do your part. If he's gonna be faithful, you gotta be faithful. But you gotta know that the vow that you're gonna make is something serious, and he's gonna hold us up to it. And look, what I'm gonna end with right here is in the New Testament. what it tells us in James 5:12. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, and let your yea be yea, and nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Don't vow, just yes or no. Yes or no. That way we don't fall into condemnation. That's what he's telling us in this James 5:12. Just don't swear. Don't make an oath. Don't make a promise that you can't keep. Don't pledge. Just yes or no. As simple as that. Yes or no. And if we are honest, we have no need to take an oath. If we're honest with him and honest with ourselves, there's no need in taking an oath. We just say yes or no to him. And then let's Matthew 5:33-37. That's my last reading. It says, again, ye have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto Yahweh thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And that's what really stuck out to me about this Torah. It was about how you don't even really know what you're talking about or what you're saying when you go to promising God something, or you know you try to compromise with him. You gotta just be yes or no with him. Just yeah, Father, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, Father, I'm gonna do it. Or not, oh Lord, I promise I'm gonna do it if you don't do this, if you do this or you do that for me. Because it's serious. It's serious business that, you know, when you vow to him. So I am so thankful for Torah. So thankful for it, because this information is, you know, it's helping me, and I'm pretty sure all of you, just to realize different things of the importance of it, how important it is to the way that we should worship him, the way that we should serve him, the things we should say, how we should act, how we shouldn't act. It was just an honor, and you know, to go through this tour and to really dig into. I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot. Some of this stuff I didn't even talk about, because there's just so much. The more you dig, is just the more. It's so much information, and it's so powerful. Like, just like that song said, I can't get that out of my head. That His word is gold. It really is, and that's how we should treat it. Treat it better than gold. There's nothing that compares to this. Nothing. And I just thank y'all for coming out tonight. Sorry I was all over the place, but I kind of get a little excited and I start sweating, get a little nervous all at the same time. But it's I just thank them. I thank them. Thank them for the tour every week. I look forward for Saturdays. I really, really do. And not only Saturdays, but just throughout the week. You can take this, like we're on 5, 6. This week coming up is going to be 6, I think. Start on Monday or start on Sunday. It's not nothing just to put it in and to listen to it, or if you want to sit down and just read it. It really doesn't take but 45 minutes, an hour, maybe a little hour on the real long ones. What's an hour just to spend with him? It's nothing. It's nothing compared to what he's going to give us when he returns. Nothing at all. So if anybody has anything to comment on it? Nope. Good. See y'all. tomorrow, let's come ready to serve him and give him all the glory and honor he deserves. Amen.